Alabama gets destroyed by Indiana in football. Yes, that's a real statement. This is real life that you're living in right now. I appreciate you guys joining us on Crane and Cone. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Really excited to be joined with On3 partnering up to do this. Hop in the party. If you're new, we appreciate you being here. Hope you subscribe after what you hear. If you're a long timer, we appreciate you. Obviously, there's no you or there's no us without you. David Cone, former Michigan quarterback. Blaine Crane, former Western State Colorado wide receiver. And guys, just before we get into this, there's just a couple points I want to bring up and let you react. David, I'll go to you first. Like I said at the beginning, this is not the upside down we're living in, but at this point, I would not be surprised if 11 ran on the field and started lifting people up until their nose bled. Mm-hmm. That's how, especially if you grew up in the era that we all three grew up in, where Alabama was just murdering people. And to see Indiana, and we're going to get into how and why and what, do what they just did to Alabama is still, not that you know, I've watched them play, I know they're really good, but it still makes you take a step back because of what we grew up in. And all credit to Indiana, an incredible performance. But the couple points I want to make from a 30,000-foot view standpoint is the first, I still watch Indiana, and I think their most elite trait is their surgical efficiency. Mm-hmm. And I think the word surgical is the exact one to use, because these guys understand who they are. They are not the most talented roster in college football, but they have the roster with the most talent that plays together in the same way, I think, in college football, which within itself is an unbelievably elite trait. They really don't make mistakes. They are so fundamentally sound, and they don't try and do too much. They know their job. They do their job. They don't try and do somebody else's, and then they adjust. And we're going to get into that after the first drive that Indiana had, because the adjustments they made up front from a protection standpoint, from an identification standpoint, it's just so elite. And then, Cone, the second point I want to make, and I want to make sure and delicately phrase this, I do not think at this point, and I think most people would agree with me, that Kurt Cignetti is Nick Saban. But I know for a fact that when Nick Saban was dominating college football, like we've watched Indiana dominate, and what I mean by dominate is since 2024, they are averaging beating teams or outscoring teams 41-13. He was doing it with a huge personnel advantage. He monopolized a roster in college football, to his credit. That's how it was back then. Kurt Cignetti is not taking the Avengers or the Justice League and going out here and whipping up on blind hobos. That's not what's happening. He's taking talented players and making them play like they monopolized a roster. So I think we have to recognize that as well. Two things can be true at once. Cignetti is not Saban yet, but I think he is doing more with less than what Nick Saban ever had to deal with. What say you?
The upside down bit, was that a Star Wars reference?
See, I was going to ask. Like, there's a high percentage chance that David has not seen Stranger Things. So that's a
discussion. Okay. We'll have to have an instant reaction.
Instant reaction. Yeah. I mean, look, Jake, you like me. I'm married into this Alabama fandom here, and the family group chat is popping right now. And there's a big discussion about Big Ten teams and the amount of money that they can spend now in this NIL era. But Indiana doesn't come to mind as one of those programs who's spending money. What comes to mind is that psychopath down there on the sideline who's up 24-0 in a football game, and he looks like Nick Saban used to look. He looks like he's the one that's mad because the standard somehow isn't being met when your team is up 24-0 in the Rose Bowl over one of the best brands in college football in Alabama. That's the kind of guy I would have loved to have played football for. What this guy has done to Indiana these past two seasons is nothing short of incredible, and you just have to tip your cap to him. And like you said, playing disciplined football in all phases of the game. I picked Indiana to win the game. I was a little uneasy about it because I thought the 6.5-point spread was disrespectful to Alabama. Turns out it was disrespectful. It was only disrespectful to Indiana and Kirk Cignetti.
Well, look, a lot of people picked Indiana win. I don't know how many people, Blaine, picked Indiana to win by what they won by, and just really after the first couple drives dominate the game. I put out on social media, and I think you'll agree here, B, and in the comments, you know, please let it fly, let us know. Indiana plays like a team that, from a fundamental standpoint, from a identity standpoint, they play like a team that knows they don't have players that are as talented as the others or as athletic, so they have to be extra good in the fundamental small things part, but they're good enough to compete with anybody. Like that combination, it's like having the jock of the school who's going to a big place to play sports. He's also the teacher's pet, but that's just really who he is. Like this combination is so, especially nowadays in college football, where you've got mercenaries left and right. If Cignetti cornered the market on anything, he cornered the market on guys that want to be there and want to play their ass off and do it the right way.
Amen.
Well, yeah, I feel like he's cornering the market on culture, to be honest. Yeah. And you see that in and out. And just watch him on the sidelines. I feel like if I say Nick Saban's name one more time, he's going to show up in my living room. But he's got a little Saban and stuff to him. And it's fun to watch.
Well, Blaney coached for him.
Yeah, like, I know. Go look at the litany.
As did every coach in these playoffs except DeBoer, I think.
Yeah,
that's how it works. True. But it feels like nobody on that team, nobody on that coaching staff, hell, maybe nobody in the state of Indiana knows that they're the number one team in the nation. Mm-hmm. They're playing like a team that, you know, maybe shouldn't have got into the playoffs, and it's not even close. But in this game, I will say this. If you were to pick Alabama, and I think for this game, for Alabama to win, it would have to be a high-scoring game. Mm-hmm. So that means their offense is rolling. Alabama is just so one-dimensional. And I will go back to this. Is Indiana a better team? Yes. But why Kalen DeBoer went for it on that fourth down, I will never know. From there on, the momentum was gone. And this in Oklahoma, where you can get up 17 and just maybe get lucky and rely on your defense. This is just like you're playing that private school, right? In basketball, they're all over 6'3", but they're just so fundamental in what they do. We need four passes before a shot. If we see a cutting lane, we need to hit it.
They're running the Princeton offense. You're just getting back cut the whole game.
That goes straight off Kirk Cignetti. And look, at this point, you might not be used to it, but Indiana right now is good enough and the odds favorite to win the national championship.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, the way it's going, I don't know if anybody can be. I mean, Miami's so good up front. I think Miami's got a shot.
Well, Georgia, I think.
Well, Georgia too, but man, like Georgia's not what they've been on that defensive line. Like if Mendoza has time, and we're going to get in the nuts and bolts of what happened. If Mendoza has time, he's going to do plastic surgery on your face and make you look like whatever he wants you to make you look like. Like you can go from a white German guy to a Hispanic in 15 minutes. You give this dude a knife and some laughing gas. Like it's so precise in what they do. And obviously that they prep this way. The going for it, Blaine and David, you know, if you're a team that can line up and run the ball and feel confident about it, or maybe you just feel like you have a huge advantage up front, I can understand it. You haven't been able to run the ball since God knows when. Like, what? How is that? You called a timeout to make a stupid decision.
Now, that part of it was kind of wild.
Like that's
otherwise, I don't mind it, to be honest.
Well, I mean, David, like, it's 3-0.
Yeah.
Right? Your defense has gotten – you pressured them a lot early. We'll get to the adjustments Indiana made here in a second. But, like, I'm sitting here watching this, man, and it's like, why would you even allow the opportunity for that? You tried to get them to jump. They didn't jump. Punt the ball, play defense. Worst case scenario, they've got to drive the field, this, that, or the other, and if they do, they do. Now, they ended up doing it a lot. When you look at the final score, I mean, it just it kept getting worse and worse. I thought that was kind of nuts to me. I would have rather you fake the punt, to be honest.
The you know, kind of simulating a fake punt before that, then calling timeout, then going for it, that part's fair. But I actually like that Kalen DeBoer went for it on fourth and one, and them not running the football well. I want to get into that in just a second. They weren't going to run it anyway. I mean, I've seen them get fourth and shorts a bunch through the air. They got the fourth and two in the pass game to put Georgia away.
But they went wild cone. They went wildcat. Season. You can't run the ball, and you went
now,
wildcat.
Again, we can talk about the play call versus the decision for sure. But My thing on it is, if they pick that up, Kalen DeBoer gets applauded just like he did on the fourth down in the Auburn game, right? It was like people have criticized this guy for not having the guts to make those sorts of ballsy calls like a Lane Kiffin would or a Dan Lanning would. Then he does it, and he does it against, say, Auburn there in the Iron Bowl, and everyone freaks out and goes crazy, and they win that game. To me, they had bigger problems going on. Right. They couldn't keep contained to the boundary on defense. And that's with guys like LT Overton coming back. On offense, you just had absolutely no answer. And they got away for the majority of this season. They got away by being one dimensional and not being able to run the football well with, you know, Ty Simpson playing well in the quick game, simulating some run game with end around Ryan Williams and things like that. But in the championship months in this sport, and that's what we're in right now, the championship months when the weather turns colder and you're banged up and everyone has been hurt since week one, you have to be able at some point to turn around and hand the football off and to get those critical yards. And that's what Indiana was able to do. Now have surpassed over 200 yards of rushing, 38 for Alabama. You just can't get away with that.
Yeah. And again, you look at, to your point, David, what can Miami do when they have to do it now? Run the ball. What did Oregon find a way to do at some points to at least stay a little bit balanced? It's not like they rushed it great, but outside of one 50-yard scoot in a shutout that Texas Tech had, I thought they dominated on the ground in a little bit of a different way. Maybe dominated isn't the best word, but they had the advantage, and I don't think Oregon's going to make it past the next round, and we'll see with Georgia. We know what they've been able to do on the ground with Gunnar Stockton. 2026 marks 250 years of America, and conversations around American culture will always be front and center all year long. You know how we do it here. But the script should highlight the heart behind Good Ranchers. That's right, Good Ranchers.
Yeah.
Coming on over here with us, baby. We absolutely love them. Used them for going on 5 years now. It's a fantastic product, and they really showcase how they're the only meat company left that's fully dedicated to you. And what do I mean by that? Well, whether it's steak, whether it's beef, whether it's chicken, whether it's bacon, whatever, it is 100% American raised. It's not coming over here from anybody anywhere else. These are American farms and ranches that are pumping this out, so we keep the money here. And it's fantastic people that make this product. I know some of you guys are from farm country, just like we are. You understand how this goes. They're 100% dedicated to America, from the pasture to the final seal on every box. Their entire packaging and fulfillment process takes place right here in the good old USA. We've been subscribers. I mean, Cone, Blaine, how many times have we had get-togethers and it's been Good Ranchers on the grill? I mean, Cone, I can count
up right now.
Times at your house.
I smell it downstairs right now.
That's exactly. We got two steaks that are thawing, two ribeyes that are thawing right now. And if you want a reason to buy, outside of just getting a fantastic product that is delivered right to your door, you can save up to $500 a year with Good Ranchers. You also get an additional $25 off your first order when you use our code Booster. That's B-O-O-S-T-E-R. And with Good Ranchers, again, you know, we don't read ads that we don't believe in. This is tried and true. We've tasted ourselves. I mean, Blaine, again, how many times have you come over here and we've thrown it on the grill? Use that code Booster, B-O-O-S-T-E-R. They've got options for different boxes they can send you. It's just a fantastic product. I mean, am I right?
Me and the boys had six bone-in ribeyes at the hunting camp last weekend. Tell me what gets better than that.
God, some Good Ranchers at the hunting camp?
Come on.
God, somewhere George Washington smiling. So head on over to goodranchers.com. Order your box today. Make sure you use that code Booster, B-O-O-S-T-E-R, to get that extra $25 off. It's American meat delivered. So the timeline of the way this game went, you know, Alabama comes out, everybody's fired up. This is why you never live bet or you don't get too overexcited after the first two drives, right? You never do that either way, whether the script's hitting or whether it looks awful. Alabama brought a lot of pressure. You even heard Cignetti when they interviewed him. I think it was after the first quarter, maybe before halftime, say that the presentation they gave us was different from what we've seen. Kane Womack made the decision that if you're going to run RPOs, then I'm going to heat your ass up. I'm going to speed up the decision-making process. Maybe you'll make a mistake. And I understand that. You're not the first team to try and do that. And they got home. in that first drive, and even a little bit in the second drive with some pressures. And they were heavy pressures. This wasn't like a five-man pressure where you're inserting one more guy. Alabama was trying to bring more than they could block. But then Indiana goes to the sideline. You have the mad scientist as the head coach. You have the Eagle Scout genius five-star at quarterback. They make the adjustments in protection. Then when Alabama would start to bring those heavy pressures, when they picked them up, that's why Charlie Becker, you know, looked like he was Julian Edelman out there making plays, because you were butt-ass naked in the back end basically playing zero. So when that started to get picked up, Alabama said, wait, we can't do that anymore. And that's when that run game really started to get going with Black and with Hemby, two guys who had really good nights. And the offensive line, just from a fundamental standpoint, I mean, there were some holes that started to open. That, you know, I'm 36 years old, I got a bad knee, and I've never been fast. I could have got five or six with some of those holes. So it's Indiana making the adjustments to what Alabama was giving them, and then being able to really stick the knife in, because Alabama couldn't run the ball, and Ty Simpson was just out there trying to do what he's done a lot all year, which is save them in certain moments. But you play that game long enough, you're going to run into a team that's not going to throw it back to you, and that's what happened.
No, and I think is Kirk Cignetti at this point, where would you put Kirk Cignetti in the ranking of coaches? Right?
I'd put him
right up there, man.
Where would you put him? You can't put him first because he hadn't won the Natty yet. Mm-hmm. Right? Kirby's up there. Kirby's probably my one.
Yeah. Kirby would be my one.
Who would be your two?
This guy's getting close, man. I mean, look what he did a year ago, and everyone thought, well, of course they're going to regress this year, right? Of course they're going to regress. They, you know, the schedule last year, blah, blah, blah. All they've done is gotten better. They're 14-0, and there was a weird part of me that I thought, hey, back-to-back seasons, the Big Ten has had the only undefeated team in the Power Four. That was Oregon a year ago. They get the bye. They face the Buckeyes in the Rose Bowl, get blown out. Bounced. I was like, man, could that happen 2 years in a row here? Indiana, great regular season. You won the Big Ten championship game, but can Alabama just come in here and really dominate them with the way they play defense, and maybe they'll figure out the run game on offense? That just did not happen, and now we're going to get set up for an Indiana-Oregon rematch, and I can't wait for it, to be honest.
And, I mean, you got to love Indiana, right? Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Point. When you look at the teams and, like, the spectrum of things that can happen, I look at Indiana and I'm like, this is the most solid bet. I know how they're probably going to play. Mm-hmm. That maybe that's a better way to put it. I know how Indiana's going to play, probably better or at least more solid than anybody else out there, because it's just who they are. They just wake up like this. It's not makeup. It's not Maybelline. They're just born like this. And this is how they play, and which makes it even more impressive when you talk about dealing with 18 to, what, 25-year-olds now, the level of consistency. And, you know, you look at Alabama, and they will catch a lot of hell for this just because the optics of Indiana beating Alabama to death in a college football playoff game is just wild in itself. But make no mistake, this Indiana team was a better team. And when I say team, I'm not just talking about the athletes you have running around. They were a better team from a balance standpoint, from a coaching standpoint, from a complementary football standpoint, from a fundamental standpoint, and from an identity standpoint. It is totally lopsided when you look at the way that Indiana handled business and the way that they have handled business. And, David, when you look at Alabama, I'm going to use a word that a lot of people I don't think are going to like. But I believe this. I think this Alabama team overachieved. I think they overachieved, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
your offensive line's overpaid and overrated. They mm-hmm. are. They just are. Maybe the most overpaid offensive line in college football right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, when you look at that, you can't run the ball. Ryan Williams has been on the back of a milk carton. Who'd have thought that Ryan Williams would catch a 7-yard
contested catch? Yeah.
Yeah, and then everybody's just like, oh my, you hear the roar from the crowd. That's how far that guy's fallen off. Jeremy Bernard, they just took him out of the game. Totally took him out of the game. I think Alabama actually overachieved when you think about it, which is crazy to say after this game.
Weird year. Weird year. I mean, you lose to Florida State to open the season, then Florida State wins the next two games in unbelievable fashion, and it looks like, well, that loss is going to be an impressive loss at the end of the year. Then Florida State falls off a cliff. Meanwhile, Alabama absolutely rolls through the middle of their season. At one point, Ty Simpson has 20 touchdowns and one interception. I thought the kid was headed towards winning the Heisman Trophy. Went toe-to-toe tonight with the actual Heisman Trophy winner. But one thing, they had gotten off to hot starts in that win streak. You know, some struggles in the second half, but got off to hot starts. Meanwhile, the last three games, I'm looking, you're down, what, 17-0? 21-0 against Georgia in the SEC championship game. 17-0 on the road against Oklahoma. Came back to win that game. Was it 24-0 at one point today? Right now, we're looking at 38-3 as Indiana's putting them away. Didn't get off to hot starts, and then Ty Simpson goes out of the football game and gets replaced by Austin Mack. I mean, I guess my question for you guys is, Ty Simpson's got to come back next year. How confident are you in his ability moving forward? This was his first year as a starter, replacing Jalen Milroe. How confident are you in Ty Simpson moving forward with Kalen DeBoer and this offense that they have right now?
Pick me.
Go ahead.
Super confident. He's the only reason they won games outside of the defense stepping up in a couple. Just go back and think about it. Like, without Ty Simpson, dude, this Bama team may be 7-5.
It reminds me, against Missouri, this is a little bit of a stretch.
Georgia?
It reminds me of Anthony Edwards when he was at Georgia.
Yeah, in basketball.
The only reason
that's a crazy comp in, like, most of the time, but I see what you're saying.
They might have only won a couple, but every time they do is because of Anthony Edwards. It goes the real question, and this is the same thing that happened to Ryan Grubb when he was at Seattle, you know, wouldn't run the ball or not having the ability to run the ball. It's hard. Look, and I agree with you, Jake. The three-pointer is only going to go in as much as you really want it to. If you shoot better than 50%, you need to be excited about that. But if you can't run the ball, the best football teams are built inside out, right? That's where you see the success. The Miamis, right? You're built inside out. Sometimes you see a car with a good engine, right? Then you can put cool tires on it. You can put seat warmers in it. You can put on the bells and whistles in it. But the engine is what's going to bring you to the finish line. And the teams like Indiana and Miami and Georgia, right? Those are the teams that can last the long, long struggle that is going to be four quarters in the trenches in these type of games.
And that's been something that has been true regardless of pre or post NIL era. Let's be honest, Alabama won a national championship with Greg McElroy because of the line of scrimmage. Alabama won a national championship with A.J. McCarron and Jake Coker because of the line of scrimmage. Alabama almost won a natty with Blake Sims because of the line of scrimmage. That's where the monopoly was.
That real quick, because I was thinking this during the game. Yes, that was a specific era with Alabama football when they were winning national championships, and you have the Mark Ingram and Derrick Henry winning Heisman trophies. And then there seemed to be sort of an offensive philosophical change with Nick Saban heading into the four quarterbacks in a row who went to the NFL, from Jalen to Tua to Mac Jones to Bryce Young winning the Heisman Trophy. But even in that era, where the OCs are Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian, those two guys still want to run the football effectively.
Sure.
Just go look at the way they build their offenses. So while it looked like, oh, 3,500 and 4,000-yard passers, and we finally have a quarterback winning the Heisman Trophy, and we're going to be high-flying, sort of like that 2019 LSU team, even then you have Najee Harris on those teams. You have a run, you have a run-first mentality and sort of a physicalness at the line of scrimmage. That has been absent this year, even though there could be some similarities with the way that they execute in their pass concept.
Without a doubt. And I want to make sure, too, I want to end talking about Indiana here. We started talking about Indiana. I want to end because, again, I am so overwhelmingly impressed with the product. Just as a guy that coached, you know, you have this vision in your mind of making the team as efficient as possible. And if they do that, then it could possibly look like this. And I think, probably what, when Cignetti sits down and has a scotch, or God, knowing that guy, I mean, I don't know, drink some WD-40 or whatever. I don't know what he does. When he looks at this film and he just sees the level of operational efficiency that Indiana has, it has got to be so much fun. Like, it is just, you talk about a warm feeling, right? Like a warm drink on a cold day. It's surgical, man. It's surgical. It is from point A to point B to point C to point D, on and on and on and on. And they just handle business. And in an era where guys want to take pictures on Instagram and guys want all this money and it's more about the chains than it is about the brains, he has found a way to instill a culture that works. And it's real. I don't think Kurt Cignetti's probably the funniest guy ever, or he's the coolest guy to go have a drink with. But I watch the way his players play for him and whatever he's doing. I don't know if it's a severance deal where they walk in the building and it clicks. I don't know what goes on, but good God almighty, this team knows what they're doing, and it is a joy to watch them do this. Just as somebody that has tried to at least make half a side of the ball do this, watching his whole team, I'm so impressed. And he's just one. You talk about a guy backing up your talk, Blaine.
Yeah.
This guy sat in front of a mic and said, all I do is win, Google me. And I'm watching him beat Alabama to death in the biggest moment of the season.
It's wild because it feels like an underdog story, but they're the number one team in the nation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Kirby Smart would love this.
It was like if Rudy was 6'6", 260, right? And was just coming off the edge.
Yeah,
it just felt like an underdog story. I don't know. Still offside.
But you talk about balance. David, you talk about balance. Watching their drives, and it's not just like they're tricking people with the RPO.
No. I got it right here. Listen to this. And this is the three touchdowns specifically with the pass game. The Charlie Becker touchdown catch, short double post against cover zero. What a ball. What a catch.
Omar what protection. Cooper Jr. Go look at the running back pick up the D lineman in that. Exactly. Nobody will talk about that, but that was beautiful.
After giving up two sacks on the first three plays, how about that adjustment? Omar Cooper Jr., we talked about getting him back. His first target, touchdown catch, mesh in the low red zone against man coverage. Elite quarterback play, elite route, great throw. Surratt on the streak, touchdown, three in a row there. I mean, everybody got involved, and again, you just got to tip your hat to this Indiana team.
Yeah, Blaine, anything you want to add here?
Oh, man, what? I know this game is worse than the first one, but I enjoyed watching this one a little bit more. Not because Alabama's getting killed. Just
it's fun
Indiana.
Watching elite, at least
right,
one just elite
because
team.
Indiana is just, God, man, they cross every T and dot every I.
Oh, you're getting nothing past them. Like, if they sue you, you're cooked. You might as well just hope they settle.
Personal question, Jake. Should I wear the Indiana pinstripes around the house tonight or no?
Do you ever want to have certain activities with your wife again? Because I'm not.
Oh man. Okay. Maybe I'll.
Hey, how about my wife? My wife, and I love her to death, watched Austin Mack throw two passes and was like, Ty can just leave.
There you go.
I was like, here we go.
There you go.
Yeah.
I was like, I love that you're pissed about it, but we need to, again, I'm trying to make you better as like understanding this. Cause again, she does horse stuff and she tries to help me out understanding that.
I'm surprised she hasn't called Michigan and said like, are you not going to hire Kalen DeBoer away?
Yeah.
Get him
now,
out.
She looked at me and goes, why did Nick Saban pick Alabama? Like, has he forgotten? I was like, all right, I'm going to go in and I'm just going to go in the kitchen.
That's a wrap, folks.
Yeah, that's a wrap. All right, make sure you hit that subscribe button. We appreciate you guys. Got a reaction of Georgia Ole Miss. Check out our Texas Tech Oregon reaction as well. Look, but a lot of people complain to us about you don't talk about the Big 12 enough. Hey, you get the views up on the Big 12 ones, we'll talk about it more. All right, this is a business. I hope y'all understand that. I know y'all do. But we got a Georgia Ole Miss one coming. We got our Miami Ohio State one as well. Make sure you're locked into Crane and Cone now on three. And just like the chances of me not still just waiting for 11 to come out of those woods and tell me she survived the, spoiler alert, the upside down crashing. We're going. Gone.